From Tickertape, this is Where's My Money? Market corrections are a completely natural part of the economic cycle, and there are two ways you can view a correction. The first is from a negative lens, where you only see the doom and gloom that are told to us by the news. But the second is from a positive lens. It's keeping in mind that corrections are actually a huge opportunity. An opportunity to introspect on how the world will be different once the cycle inevitably goes back up. And if you can critically think about this and make logical assumptions of what's to come, then the correction could truly be a huge opportunity for you. But how do we understand what's to come? What are the mental models that we need to put in place to be ahead of the curve? All of that and more to come in today's episode. And to do this, we spoke to Harshad Patvardhan, who's the Chief Investment Officer at Girik Capital. And we started the conversation by getting some context about what's happening in the global markets at the moment.
If you actually look at the Indian market has done phenomenally well in a relative sense compared to many other markets. If you listen in to what's happening in Europe, US, you know, things are very, very scary. But if you look at our markets has done remarkably well. Just to put it in context, if you look at in US dollar terms for comparison, Indian market is down only about 2% over the last 1 year in Nifty. Whereas if you look at the world index is down 13.7%, emerging market index is down 24.7%, Nasdaq is down about 21%. So Indian market has done very, very well compared to many other markets for two reasons. One, Indian economy in a relative sense is much better placed compared to many other big countries outside. And secondly, domestic investors in India have provided the cushioning impact to the selling by the foreigners.
These numbers that you were just speaking about, the overall index numbers in all of these countries, India has been less affected and the world seems to be more affected. But as an investor, when you're looking at these numbers and these constant headlines of X index is down this, Y index is down this, it can be very easy to be scared. First of all, worried about your existing assets and worried about whether you want to invest further. But could you talk a little bit about what you think about looking at these numbers and how you feel investors should come at these numbers from the perspective of a more rational perspective before making any sudden decision?
You're absolutely right that, you know, the whole conversation in media, you know, when people meet is about Sensex and Nifty, right? But very few people actually invest in Sensex or Nifty. The real drama that unfolds in the market is not what Nifty has done last year or what Sensex has done, but what happens underneath. But take any given year. I will give you an example of the latest year, 2021, the year gone by. In that calendar year, NSE 500 delivered about 30% return, right? But if you look at the 25 best performing stocks, on an average, they delivered 244% returns. And the worst performing 25 stocks, on an average, delivered minus 33% return. So what tends to happen is that if you focus your attention too much at the index level, you miss this story. And it is this story that actually is more interesting. Particularly active fund managers tend to buy stocks, not indices. So it's very important for, particularly for newer investors to understand that don't focus too much on the index. In any given situation, there are always stocks that tend to do well. If you go back and look at 2008, which has been the worst year on record for Indian markets, there were a handful of stocks that still delivered positive returns for the year. So dispersion of stock returns is a very, very big theme most people tend to miss.
It's very interesting how you talk about that some companies will not just outperform the index, they will very much outperform the index. And I'm just thinking from the mind of an investor, as a everyday investor, how do you go about and what process could you follow to help you find these little golden nuggets amongst what's happening in the market? How do you go about finding those companies that may actually outperform the index?
So, you know, that of course requires a lot of time. So I would say that for your listeners, if you have the time, if you think you have the skills and the temperament to do the stock research yourself, you know, go ahead and do that. But let me say that this is not a part-time activity. You can't just spend half an hour every evening to research stocks. You know, that's a full-time job. So for people who do not have that time, I think the right way to do is to find someone who will do it for you. So there are n number of financial products, investment products available, you know, right from mutual funds to PMSs to AIFs. So if you don't have the time, spend some time to identify the right product and the right manager for you. And there are, you know, n number of financial advisors. So find an advisor whom you can trust and your investment objectives and try to find the right product for you. It's very important to ask that question to yourself, whether you have three things, whether you have the temperament, whether you have the skill, and whether you have the time to do that research yourself. Else, find somebody who will do it for you.
That's a really helpful answer. And I think for a moment, let's explore the thread and assume that somebody does have a certain amount of free time where they could explore this to a certain extent. If you were talking to them directly and saying, here's the X, Y, Z temperament that you need to undergo this activity, what are the core components of that temperament that you would advise they have?
I think first and foremost is that you have to have, you know, patience to actually do the hard work in terms of research. If you are looking to invest in a particular stock, it's very important to do historical study to understand the business. So understand the business behind that stock and the history of that business. And when you do that, you have to basically, you know, look at a company from two, three angles. One is the business itself, the business economics, how does this company make money? Second, management. And think about management as separate from business, because the CEOs change from time to time, right? So you have to understand that. And of course, you need some kind of aptitude to look at the math behind it. Very basic, reading the balance sheet, etc. So after studying the past, you also should think a lot about the future as to what is the kind of reinvestment opportunity that this particular company has. Can this company be materially bigger in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now? So I would say it's both quantitative as well as qualitative analysis that you have to do. And for investing in one particular stock, you also have to do the sectoral analysis. How does the sector work? And doing research is not enough, because Indian market, you know, is very dynamic. Things keep changing. So once you invest, you should also monitor.
What do you ask yourself? What are you analyzing about certain industries, and what are you thinking about before making a decision saying that X industry is going to be much larger and Y industry is going to be much smaller? How do you validate and think through these hypotheses?
If I have to look at only one thing, I will basically focus on earnings growth. So wherever you're going to see most robust earnings growth, I think that is a good place to look at, to start with. Of course, it's complex, so you have to also look at the starting valuations. If the valuations already factor in these phenomenal growth, then you may not get the stock returns. But a good place to start is to look at pockets where the earnings growth is going to be far superior compared to the average.
Before I even ask you this question, I will obviously state the natural disclaimer that these are the views of Harshad himself and not of his company, neither of Tickertape. What I want to ask you about here is, in your personal opinion, what sectors or industries or companies do you see coming out of this correction stronger? And if you could just allude to why, that would be great.
Corrections are a part of life in markets. If you look at last 15 years, from 2007 onwards, there have been 6 instances of more than 15% corrections in the market. Good news is that all corrections ultimately come to an end. And when they end, the prospective returns from there tend to be very chunky. Most important thing to do is not to get scared of the correction and say that I'm never going to invest again in the markets. You may be getting out at a very, very wrong time. What we have observed is that a year before correction, the kind of sectors that tend to do well are very different from the sectors that do well after correction ends. So there is a leadership change, sectoral leadership change before the correction and after the correction. The sectors that have done well before the correction started in October 21 are sectors like metals, realty, and utilities. So these three were the leading sectors in the index. So we believe that as and when the correction ends, we don't know when, but it will for sure, the sectors that will be in leadership position will probably be different from these three sectors. And our study suggests, of course, this is kind of a guess, right? Nobody knows. We will know only after the facts. But it's likely that automobiles, capital goods, and banking and financials will probably, you know, these three sectors might lead as and when the correction ends and the market resumes.
Could you explain just very quickly why you feel these three industries will, automobiles, capital goods, and BFSI, why do you feel these industries potentially could come to the forefront?
Because when we look at the next 2-3 years, and look at the relative earnings growth across sectors. These are the three sectors where the earnings growth is going to be maximum among all other sectors. Okay. Therefore, the odds of they doing well are fairly high. Also, if you look at automobile sector and capital goods sectors, they are coming out after a very prolonged period of very, very adverse developments. So automobiles had seen very tough times over the last 4-5 years. Capital goods, we haven't really seen a big capex, private capex for last, I would say, 10 years. We believe that, these two sectors are emerging from after a long slump, and the earnings growth, prospective earnings growth, our expectation is that it will be very robust.
Awesome. And I think that is extremely helpful for listeners to go off on their own and create their own assumptions based on this data and information that you've given across. So thank you so much for that. Before we wrap up, Harshad, I just want to ask you, from this whole conversation, is there anything else that you'd like to add onto, anything you feel we've missed, anything that you feel could give the listeners a more holistic perspective of this conversation?
It's very important not to lose the medium to long-term perspective. If you listen too much to business TV or you read too much of business press, I think that may actually be a bit of it is required, but too much of it may not be good both for your physical and financial health, because then the urge to do something is very, very large, and it's very important not to be impatient, not to be short-term.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Where's My Money by Tickertape. On this show, we simplify the finance landscape in India for you. So if you're looking to venture into stock investing, sort out your personal finance, or make sense of how economic developments can impact your money, this podcast will be a perfect addition to your morning commute or household chores. Also, if you enjoyed the episode and want more of this, make sure to follow us on your favorite podcast platform to never miss an episode. And last but not least, consider downloading the Tickertape app. It is an investment analysis platform for stocks, mutual funds, ETFs, and much more. The link and further description will be in the show notes below. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we will see you in the next one.